guys. It's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper.
This is Joe Bob Briggs.
This is Jeffrey Combs.
Hey, this is Scotty in from Anthrax.
Hi, you're listening to Adrienne Barbeau.
Hi, this is Doc Bradley. You're listening to Quality Time.
You're listening to Quality Time.
Quality Time Broadcast.
And you're listening to Quality Time.
Quality Time Podcast.
I'm saying this under duress.
You better keep listening or I will tear your soul apart.
Welcome to Quality Time, episode 2 of Wishmaster. We have Mr. Jeremy P. Woodworth, my blood, my brother. How are you, sir? They stole your neighbor stole your beer.
My neighbor has a friend that comes by with a truck that had scrap metal on it, and he obviously threw it in there, and she's like, well, I didn't see him take it, though. I'm like, well, somebody knew it was there now, and it's gone. You know? Nobody should be in the back of my truck to steal the beer. Because it's hidden, and you have to walk up to it and take it.
Son of a...
So unless it was somebody in the neighborhood, but it's like, well, somebody in the neighborhood didn't fill the back of my truck up with scrap. I assume they would have moved it just so they didn't put the scrap underneath it.
I didn't want to tell you I stole the beer.
Yeah, right. You would never even drink my fucking beer.
I didn't. But we'll get to the bottom of this culprit in your neighborhood. We're also joined by the very talented, whose internet connection getting better by the day, Miss Ashley Pontius. Ashley, how are you?
I'm great. How did that sound?
Did they put a new McDonald's near where you live?
She's so unhappy right now.
I'm always unhappy. Have you met me? Like, it's a forever feeling. I think we should investigate the rats, Jeremy. I think they're slacking on the job. They're getting drunk at work.
That is.
Not eaten a bowl that's left of peanut butter and poison, so I'm definitely down to the dregs.
That's my favorite porno is peanut butter and poison.
Well, it was one of Bret Michaels' better films, so.
Yes.
Hey, real quick, I have a first time guest on the show who I'll call her an executive producer for allowing this to happen in her home week to week. Welcome my wife. Should we go by your alias, hon?
You can call me my name. It's loud.
You got to get up real close on that mic.
I have to put my mouth on a microphone that Jeremy has put his mouth on.
No, I gave you a fresh puff. It's a fresh puff muffin.
I never put my mouth enough? On microphones.
Yeah, you look good there.
Okay. I probably did. Sorry.
Why don't we just call her Katie?
Yeah, Katie. Erica Woodworth on the show here. Honey, now we're having some work done. We're getting a bathroom put down here in the basement, the recording studio, if you will. And I was away, and one of the contractors came up. And could you tell what this contractor said about something he found in our basement?
Sure. So he came up the stairs, and he asked me, hey, is that a picture of Chris Restivo?
Yes. So I have a picture going back in time. There is a framed picture of me and Chris Restivo. So it's a picture of me and Chris, and it's cropped out, but it is a famous picture I took with him. Known homophobe Chris Restivo, and I have my balls out in the picture, but it's cropped off of the one that I hang in my home. But it's like with me with my arm around him, also holding my balls out next to him. Now, I'm a comedian. I perform all over the state of Maryland constantly. I feel like I have a following. This guy saw that picture, is like, holy shit, is that Chris Restivo? Oh my god, from Five Plated Clothing.
Chris Restivo is more famous than Eric.
Yes, so that's what I'm getting at. What did the guy say, honey, about Chris after that?
Well, I asked how he knew Chris. He said he's from the same neighborhood, and then he said, yeah, he's kind of a weird guy.
Kind of a weird guy. kind of a weird guy. So the great Chris Restivo. I'm excited. So this guy hasn't been back. He's like the supervisor, correct?
Oh, no, he's been back several times.
If I leave them out, will you show him my collection of five-plated clothing things to try to impress him? Maybe we can get a discount.
Absolutely not.
Do you think
self-respect.
Do you think we could schedule a meet where Chris Restivo was just at the house here so he could be like a surprise?
I'd prefer Chris Restivo not know our address. We've talked about this before.
I think that's solid. I agree with her.
All right. Well, I appreciate you, honey, sharing that story with us again. Thanks for being on the pod. God bless you.
Erica.
Bye. Jeremy says goodbye.
Yes. Bye, goodbye. Erica.
Jeremy also said he'd be happy to bring over some rats if you'd like to the home because he feels like we're lacking in that.
No, we have one now.
Oh, yeah, we do have a rat. I'll tell you guys about that.
I did not say that. Jeremy, please tell your wife I didn't say that.
Jeremy wanted to be clear, honey, that he did say that, in fact. And it was not
Jeremy
me making it up.
Jeremy, who do you think's going to win the Super Bowl today? Eric's childishness or his wife's need to, like, keep order in the home?
I think it's going to be, like, the congressman or the players. Is that a team?
The players, yeah. The players. Yeah.
I don't want to spoil anything, but I'm pretty sure everybody loses.
I also had one other thing. She mentioned that we already had a rat on the way out, and my wife did buy me, as a Valentine's Day gift, it was an early one, she bought me a taxidermied mouse. A completely taxidermied mouse that stands on 2 feet. It has a Viking helmet and a sword. So
nice.
That's awesome.
And it really upset my oldest daughter, who said, I don't like that it's a real one.
Solid.
So I ate it in front of her just to make her feel comfortable.
At that point, he's like, look, feel the bones underneath the fur. It's still real.
Yes. My littlest one thought it was cool. She's like, ooh, can I feel its flesh? She was like poking it and stuff. So she liked it. But the oldest one, she was like, that's the thing I don't want to see die. Aww. So,
did anybody put 1 and 1 = 2 in the movie Psycho with Norman Bates, that he's really into taxidermy? Oh, yeah, and my mom, she's as harmless as one of these birds. Because I taxidermied her.
Oh, that's cute. I didn't put that together, but you are making a lot of Psycho references lately. You
made some in, I love Psycho.
You really do like the movie. Jerry's face is just the face of somebody who would kill Dimebag Daryl, let me tell you.
You know, no matter how much I try, I will always be XY, but at least I can wear a woman's face over my face.
Yeah, that's what Jeremy thinks of when he thinks trans. Is...
And that's when I dance with my chainsaw.
Yeah. Who do you, I'm trying to think. There's
chainsaws.
There's a good I would love to see RuPaul's Drag Race, but a season where that features Leatherface, Norman Bates, as well as Buffalo Bill, and just see them square off against each other. That is must see Halloween TV.
I've never seen an Ed Gein interview. I don't know if there one exists. But I could just see him just giving like the slightest like country chuckle, like.
Everybody talks shit about Ed Gein being like a. He's not even really technically a serial killer at all. He didn't actually.
Oh, he was definitely a serial killer.
He didn't murder anybody, but he did dig up a lot of dead bodies and then turn them into stuff. That was
He killed at least one woman. But he did like the dead bodies, yeah. So
I don't kill people. I just have sex with their dead bodies. That's it. I don't understand why I can't be just left alone. And that's the future libertarians want, guys.
Do I count if I get off on dude's dead dreams?
Yeah. So you finger blast yourself to this show every week?
I'm just like, oh my God, like he's never gonna make it in the industry. I'm like, oh my god, his kids are gonna be disappointing too. Squelch, squelch, squelch.
Gush, gush, gush.
Squelch, squelch.
No, when I really bust, it's when I think about the fact that, like, your kids are going to marry someone just like you.
All right. I got one last thing that happened to me yesterday, right? I had a Die Laughing Productions rehearsal where we had to practice for the murder mystery coming up. And me and the great Tommy Simbazo were riding over to one Joe Robinson's dad's house to go do the rehearsal, right? And
would that be Gramps?
Yeah, it would be Gramps, yeah. So, which, by the way, we'll talk about that next episode, Jeremy, as the Gramps, you and Gramps saga. But let's get into what happened just yesterday. Tommy said that if he won the multi-million-dollar like Powerball or something, that he would create a sex doll. He called it what's quote unquote the perfect sex doll. Okay, and what it would do is it would have the body of Katie Robinson and her face, but where the pussy was, it would be Joe Robinson's mouth like this, and it would talk like, "Hey, what's going on, guys? Come on, hey, do you want to fuck my mouth, pussy like this? Yeah, all right, yeah, yeah." And the caveat, he's like, now the way this works is that you go and right before you put it in, you say an easily refutable statement like, Tom Brady is not the greatest quarterback of all time. And he's like, actually, statistically. And then you put it in and it's going like this. It's cool. The teeth are foam. You won't get hurt by it. And then the great Justin Schlegel goes, and he's like, it's called he started referring to Katie's sex doll, Katie's pussy, as the Joe mouth pussy. There you go.
Well, if you make sure it has Josie Marcellino's tits, you can call it the Juicy.
The Juicy. Oh, man. So, yeah, that was us talking about fucking Joe Robinson's mouth for an entire afternoon in front of his dad and wife. And it was really, you know, it was a great time.
Love it.
I think that's a great idea of fucking my son's mouth. Yeah, and I also, my mouth's bleeding because I didn't die after all.
Oh, my God. Is that Jimmy Stewart?
That's me, Jimmy Stewart, otherwise known as Joe Robinson's dad. Yeah.
You're I'm out in, it's Christmas time. And the one thing I'd like for Christmas more than anything in the whole world is somebody fuck my mouth. Just, I did. I gotta have to see it.
It's a wonderful life.
It's so dark.
Oh, look, they're drawing all the bank money out, and I'm not going to have a job. But Lisa got this juicy hog in my mouth.
Tonight on NBC, the new 2021 version of It's a Wonderful Life Bukkake. It ends in the biggest bukkake you've ever seen.
I was going to say, boys, I don't like this. This reminds me of me signing up for OnlyFans. This is very upsetting. I don't like this. It's too real.
This isn't a white Christmas.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, guys, we're going to drop you right back into the action here where we left off. Josh has just been murdered in the movie Wishmaster. The Wishmaster has been reincarnated and was briefly Vern Troyer. And we're going to drop you right back in for the rest of Wishmaster.
Emotional suffering.
My girlfriend punched me in the dick at least once or twice during going out with her when I was a teen.
So, oh, yeah?
That's like its own episode, Jeremy. I need to hear more about that.
I didn't even deserve it. She was just evil.
She was a real piece of work. Loved her. So she, Alex then runs and rushes to the lab. The cops are there. She finds Josh is dead, and the cops are already on the scene. And I do like that Alex is such a bitch right here that they're like, did you know Josh? And she's like, yeah, he was just a friend. So he immediately friend zones him. Even in death, he was just like, yeah, I was never going to fuck this guy. I want to be clear with the people investigating this. I still wouldn't have had sex with this guy here.
Why does that upset me? Because I feel like that's going to be my death. I'm like laying there and people are like, oh, how did you know Ashley? And you guys are like, oh, she was like a guest on our podcast for like a year.
So, well, I would have been turned on to him, but his face was hardly pockmarked.
That's good, Jeremy.
Ashley, do you desire to be on the Quality Time podcast?
Yes, and oh, how the tables have turned.
Oh, goodness. So, after that, we get to meet a sweet local bum who is panhandling for change. And if you the close eye can see that as he's a guy's walking out of this pharmacy where he's panhandling, you'll see it's one Tom Savini who gets bumped coming out of the door. So another horror icon spotted in this. And the bum is, of course, played by whose name we mentioned earlier, but is the gentleman from the movie They Live and from Escape from New York. And
whoa.
Yeah.
Back to the Future. Crazy drunk drivers.
Yeah, and Back to the Future. So he's played a lifelong bum. And next, we see Reggie Bannister from the movie Phantasm come out and confront this bum who's panhandling out there.
Look, how many times I gotta tell you?
Hey, you left customers in there. That's not a good way to run a business.
Don't tell me how to run my business. You're a fucking bum.
Well, you don't tell me how to run my life. You're a fucking prick. I'll talk to anybody I want to. You don't own this fucking sidewalk.
You wanna know something? I do own this fucking sidewalk. You wanna know why? Because I pay fucking taxes.
Fuck you.
No, fuck you!
I hope you die, you sack of shit. I hope you die, and I hope you float down the gutter so I can fucking piss on you. Bald-headed baboon. Complected afterbirth of a Chinese gangbanger.
Oh, Jesus. He's Brad Johnson, Chinese gangbanger. Save it for the Ben Show, old man.
I loved that scene so much. But point to our listeners. I love when he says, I want you to die so I can piss on you. Fun tip, someone doesn't have to be dead for you to pee on them.
That is true. If R. Kelly has taught me anything, that is true. He does walk, the bum walks down the corner and, of course, runs into the Wishmaster, who's hearing him wish all these terrible things upon the owner of this little independent business pharmacy. And here is the bum talking to the djinn.
Do you really mean those curses you hurl so freely?
Damn right I did.
What would you do to have them come true?
Cigarette and a handshake's about all I got right now, pal.
Not quite. You have a soul.
That I'd trade for a shower and a jug of Jack.
Then the death of your enemy you would consider a bargain.
You really are fucked up, you know that? But I do like the way you think.
Indulge me, then. What would you have happen? Give it some thought. Enjoy it.
Hey, you should only get cancer. Should only get cancer and die.
As you wish.
Welfare check.
And as Reggie Bannister is back in the pharmacy, just having a wonderful talk about the vagrants outside and the poor people that are a drain on all of society, he all of a sudden, his face starts to bubble and pop. He basically looks like the worst episode of Dr. Pimple Popper you could ever watch in the next minute, and his face like writhes and explodes on the ground. It's a pretty fun scene. It's a pretty good little special effects part right
there.
That's
what happens when you drink Viper.
Yeah. Very viperish. Very viperish.
You know, the worst thing is that when he offers, he's like, what would you do for a Klondike bar? Would you wish that he dies? Yes. For a Klondike bar, I would give my soul.
Hello, I am the new spokesperson for the Klondike bar. What would you wish to have one?
They then tell the bum, realizing the horrible mistake he's made in having this guy die at the hands of the Wishmaster, is starting to regret his decision.
Was it worth it? Run, insect. Run and tell those you will what you will. Tell them there is something loose in their city. Something which feeds on wishes. But tell them quickly, while you still have a soul.
Oh, tell them while you still have a fresh soul. So, listen, I'll just say, this Wishmaster guy, not the nicest of fellows. He has some nefarious plots. I also think, if you go back in that scene, you realize the guy wished for, like, three other things. He wished for just a jug of Jack, and he would have given him a soul for that, but the Wishmaster's like, I can do better. Let's have him murder someone, please.
So, I'm so very glad that this doesn't happen in, like, London, England. Because he meets up with David Gilmour and he's like, do you truly wish that he was here? Yeah, I wish that he was here. Oh, your wish is granted. Sid Barrett is back. And he's not retarded.
He's back. He's back in Pink Floyd. That's the wish right there.
That
okay.
was ironic.
Oh, Jeremy, I like that one. That was good,
yeah,
man.
Pink Floyd.
So Alex then talks to her sister Shannon, who is also the front desk lady at the appraisal office, and they chat about Josh. He says she says the opal exploded, and then she thinks that sounds kind of crazy. And you know, you're probably just having flashbacks to that horrible fire where you only saved me and let mom and dad die. Hate to bring that up. You're gonna start hallucinating again. She goes, it's not a hallucination. I really am seeing these things. It's like the worst episode of Friends ever. Anyway, have you heard of this guy Joey Fatone? He's going to be in this group called NSYNC. I know it's 1997. This is where we're going with the show. She then has a fun memory of the fire and gets to see her crispy-ass boyfriend back on the tennis court, and in the Wishbasher voice goes, I can smell your fear. Yay. Alex then talks to the construction worker back during the day after she wakes up from this horrible nightmare that she has. And the construction worker tells her that, yeah, he did find the fucking rock inside of the broken statue. And the statue was supposed to go to that rich guy who's played by Robert Englund. So she then goes to hopefully make her way to go meet Beaumont. But meanwhile, while this is happening, the Wishmaster takes his way to the School of Medicine. And although he looks like a local street bum, everyone that walks by him is still kind of attracted to this guy who's clearly looks like his face has just been run through a cheese grater. They find him just completely desirable and impossible not to look at. Inside of the School of Medicine, he finds this body that's looks surprisingly like the sexiest one he could find. It's Andrew Divoff, and starts removing his face. And as he's removing that guy's face, he is come up on by one of the medical students there.
What the fuck? Oh my god.
I don't understand. This is not something you wish to see.
Uh-huh.
Very well.
Oh, no! And he immediately grants him his wish and, like, basically removes his eyeballs so they're just little fucking assholes on his face. Just two little fuck sockets are all that's left in this guy's skull as now he can't see as he rips this guy's face off. So
I would date him.
I would.
I'll never be able to do his prop comedy anymore.
Yeah. He would be a fun guy to peg. Am I right, Ash?
Man, I've got a double penetration dildo that I've been saving for him. I actually just realized with all your awesome jokes, Eric, about his face, I think he's the sixth Spice Girl. He's Baby Swiss.
Baby Swiss. Oh, fuck yeah. Hell yeah. So, Alex then goes to question Raymond Beaumont, who's played by Robert Englund. She tells him that she asks him if the you know, the statue was bejeweled. He says it wasn't, which means that it was stuck inside of the statue. We then get to see Raymond's collection, and if you notice Raymond's collection, you'll see that one of his statues is none other than the statue at the beginning of The Exorcist that is that demon statue that the sweet priest looks at and has that long staring contest
Zazu.
With. Yeah, it's Zazu. So he has the Zazu statue in his collection at home. So it's a nice little throwback right there. Nice little callback.
I'm telling you, Wishmaster is a total love letter to other horror movies.
I mean,
the cast and all the cool special effects, the little almost what you'd call Easter egg sort of throughout the film. I'm not going to say it's a perfect movie, but I feel like it's pretty damn close.
But while she's there, she does have a bit of a panic attack and sees the Wishmaster in a vision, and she gets a new lead about the Wishmaster, tells her to go talk to Professor Wendy, who can tell her more about the Fire Opal.
The Stone of the Secret Fire was first written about in Persia around 900 years ago. Mm-hmm. A court sorcerer is said to have imprisoned an evil spirit within it.
An evil spirit?
Yes. A creature from the spaces between the worlds. A djinn.
A djinn. A genie?
Now hold on a minute. Forget what our culture is made of the djinn.
No, a djinn, like the stuff I'm drunk on right now. I'm funny, I'm a pistol. Let me just tell you. So,
gin and juice.
Yeah.
Gin and juice. Oh, yeah.
I didn't have enough time to make a parody song of the song Gin and Juice, but it was floating around in my brain today. Like, with so much drama in the fucking America 90s, it's kind of hard being D-I to the double N-E's. And somehow, some way, I keep coming up with funky-ass wishes like every single day. May I fucking kick a little something for the G's and get a few pock marks on my face, please, because I'm this guy and I'm super fucking ugly, but they put me in makeup. So anyway,
Homeboy alone.
Oh my god, Eric, you're almost fuckable.
So here's some more of Wendy explaining about the djinn.
Forget Barbara Eden, forget Robin Williams. To the peoples of ancient Arabia, a djinn was neither cute nor funny. It was something else entirely. It was the face of fear itself.
Yeah, that would have rocked if they hired Robin Williams to play the djinn instead. Like, ooh, wouldn't you like to just make me, I'm going to go and wish some things upon the lamp, and then I'm going to come with, and then, ooh, look at this. Hey, would you like to be a mannequin for the rest of your life? Because I can make that happen. You'll be beautiful forever.
But how crazy would it be if the corpse that he finds is an old lady?
Yes.
Doubtfire. Hello!
Hello, it's just me, Jean Robin Williams.
Oh, I just realized that bitch is the actual evil bitch in the elevator from the movie The Devil.
Oh.
Where everybody's stuck in the elevator together.
Damn.
Oh my god, Jeremy. Good catch.
So,
I knew I recognized her. I thought that she was also one of the crazy bitches from the Shaolin Man films that goes crazy, bangs her head on the window like during The Happening, but it's probably not.
Next we see the Wishmaster with his new face, looks like a regular person, getting some threads from the store when he entices the very beautiful store clerk with a wish proposition.
This is my first day in your world, Ariella. I am pleased to see beauty as a constant. Does it bother you, knowing that your beauty will fade, that your looking glass will day by day tell you a long and unhappy story?
Well, I mean, that's life, right? Happens to all of us, like it or not.
Doesn't have to, Ariella. Ask. Ask and see what happens. Ask for an end to change, an end to decay. Say, I wish to be beautiful forever.
I, I wish to be beautiful forever.
Pleasure doing business with you.
Oh, no. And he turns her into a fucking mannequin, which I'm sure that will only result in her finding a gay 80s guy that will wake her up at midnight and they will go on fun adventures every single night.
And we can build this thing forever, man, and live forever, and we'll make some sausage now.
Are you familiar with the movie Mannequin, Ashley, or is that too dated for you?
Am I? I love Mannequin. I'm not afraid. I love Mannequin. I love Splash. I love Big. I love all that shitty 80s shit. All
right, tight.
Did you know about the band Starship?
No.
Do I know about Starship? Yes, I do.
They used to be called Jefferson, but they built every city in America.
Yes. We built this city, and we did it. And we did it for the private sector, not the government. They're actually a libertarian band. They're a private road and city builder. We built this city.
We built this shitty band on Broadway.
That's what that would be hilarious if that's what the next libertarian candidate runs on. We built this city. No, us, and not with our tax dollars, okay? That's what I'm running on.
They had a show back in 2000 where Obama actually came up on stage and told them they didn't actually build that city. So...
Hey, you think Jefferson Starship built that? They didn't build the city. That was us.
Oh, you believe they built the city? Do you also believe that you didn't start the fire? You're awful shit.
I didn't start the fire. Billy Joel, you're being brought on charges, and you did start the fire.
Hey, you see that? You see that fire right there? You didn't start that. That was us. We started that fire.
Why don't you tell me that you didn't ride your motorcycle in the rain?
You played the engine buffer that fire.
So, meanwhile, Wendy is telling Alex some more about the evil that is the djinn.
Yes. Okay. The djinn, the word is both plural and singular, by the way, are a race created after the angels but before mankind. Powerful, magical, evil.
Explain this evil.
It's what the myths say.
They're obliged to. But their true motivation is always usurping this world for themselves.
I never heard that. What I heard was...
sweetened fables. Over the centuries, faith became fairy tales. We avoided our terror by taming it into fictions, inventing stories of magical lamps to rock our children to sleep.
And the old stories are darker.
Much darker. In the old writings, the djinn is everything that we have ever feared. An utterly inhuman race of beings that mean us harm. Older than our oldest history, more powerful than our worst imaginings, and driven by an ancient and endless malevolence.
Whoa! Evil malevolence. Calm down, lady. We get it. Like, fairy tales are evil.
The stories were changed through the centuries, like magic lamps being rubbed when everybody knows that it was actually women rubbing their vaginas, and then the djinn came out of the vaginas, much like Pandora's box wasn't actually a box. It was her vagina, because she was rubbing her vagina.
Ooh,
and then
you've rubbed your vagina, and now you've awakened me. I've been living in your pussy this entire time. Thank you. It was roomy in there.
Oh, yeah. My nickname when I had an OnlyFans was Wishmaster. I get it.
So next we see our Wishmaster visit the police station and the police detective who's investigating Josh's murder, and the Wishmaster wants Alex's address because he's still, even though it's 1997, refuses to use the internet. He was hoping that he could get Alex's address from her, but he's like, God, I'm so frustrated. You know, this guy gets off every time. He's like, would you like if that he was nailed for murder? And he accidentally wishes that this guy gets nailed for murder. And the guy goes and grabs a gun from one of the cops and starts shooting police officers in the police station and goes fucking apeshit. They shoot him, but it doesn't even faze him. And they rip the fucking lower mandible off one guy in a pretty good scene in this police station. It rocks. And during all of that, the Wishmaster is able to grab Alex's card off the table. He's like, oh, now I know where she works. Thank you. I'm a good detective. In case you didn't know, I watched every episode of Scooby-Doo while I was imprisoned, and I know how to investigate things.
Oh, Eric. Hello. Like zoinks, Eric. I'm getting wet.
Hello. Hello, this is Hello, this is customer service from AOL. Would you like your AOL service changed from 14 baud K to 38 baud K? Come 30 seconds sooner than they could have come with 14 baud K.
Would you like to see these nudes of Alanis Morissette that can be there within 30 minutes?
We have sent you 20 CDs of our AOL service to try to have you make your service with AOL.
Oh, God, he is evil.
Oh, Jeremy, I am definitely online right now.
So,
would you like to invest in a stock known as Google? It might be a good thing to invest in someday.
So, the Wishmaster then heads to Alex's job, where he's met by none other than the door attendant, played by Jason Voorhees himself, Kane Hodder.
Get out of my way. I don't think so, asshole. Do you have any idea how frustrating it is to have unlimited power and only be able to use it when some worm asks you for something?
No, I can't say that I do. Can't say I give a shit either.
Ask me for something.
Okay. I want you to leave.
No. No. I have to get inside.
Well, now you'd have to go through me. And that is something I would love to see.
Oh, no, that's a wish. And he does oblige the sweet Kane Hodder by probably the shittiest kill in the movie. Kane deserved better than this, but he gets shitty CGI'd to look like he's a pane of glass, and then he just gets walked through in really not even good glass shattering. Like, it shatters. Like, it's a bad scene, but it's fun to see Kane Hodder.
He got killed better by himself as Jason in Jason in Friday the 13th 6.
Yeah, you're right.
But can I make my Kane Hodder story as quick as I can?
Mm-hmm.
He got a picture with me as Pogo years ago at Monster Mania by his own volition, and I knew that he had like an actual John Wayne Gacy painting in his home. And finally, I got my T-shirts made. I'm like, yeah, I'll give King Cotter one of my Pogo T-shirts. And I give him one of my T-shirts, and he sees that it says, I was raped by on the back. And he was like, he gives me this deadpan look like, are you gay? And I was like, no. My wife made me this costume, and it's, you know, it's part of my spiel. And he just wasn't impressed.
Yeah.
So finally... I made him a T-shirt.
It's sad that your rape joke didn't work on Kane Hodder. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was too much for Kane Hodder. And finally, I got my friend to give him another T-shirt. And the first thing he's asked, like, does it say rape on the back? He's like, no. So I finally got Kane Hodder to take one of my T-shirts and get my picture taken with my T-shirt.
Jeremy. I would love a gay Jeremy.
Well, that is almost as good as done. Do you want an XL or a regular X?
Oh, can I? I'm a big girl and I got a big rack.
Hell yeah!
Whatever you think is roomy for the chest.
You tell me. I'm trying to be nice. So.
Yeah.
Why don't we do the sales off the show? Is that okay, guys?
Let's just say some people need 5X at some of the shows I sell.
There you go. There you go. So
yes, let's move on.
I know you're nowhere near to 5X. So.
Wow, Jeremy, you really know how to get a woman's self-esteem up to 10. Let me tell you.
Let's not talk about my wife. So.
Hey, yow. Next, we see the Wishmaster visit Alex's boss within the place, and he's the like really smarmy looking guy, and he gives up Alex's address for $1 million. But the caveat is, the next scene, his mom blows up in a plane crash, which I don't know why. I don't know how the two link. I don't know, his mom, they established within 1 minute that his mom is like, oh, I'm going to see my son in New York City. And then the plane just explodes. So that's a...
But you do understand it, though, right? Is like, that's how he got his $1 million, is because his mom left him the insurance policy.
Yeah. I didn't, yeah. But he just made a gold chalice on the table. He could have just given him $1 million. I always said, can you just give me one wish that isn't fucked up, Wishmaster?
By the way, there was an episode of the Twilight Zone where some jewel thief just kind of like wakes up after being shot by the cops. And it's actually the old guy from Family Affair. And he's like, hey, you could do something for me. You can give me some money. And he's like, he just has money that he just takes out of his pockets to hand to him. It's like, that's what like a true demon can do. It's not like, oh, you can have $1 million. I'll just have to kill your mom. You know, like, what?
Well, it's funny, because one of the writer of this, Kurtzman, it says that he referenced 4 different episodes of The Twilight Zone when he was writing this. True movie fact about the film.
So. And the great thing about that Twilight Zone was, like, he's dead. He knows, he finally figures out he's dead, and he's like, why don't you take me to the Hall of Records where I can read about my past, why I'm in heaven now? It's like, oh, it says when you were a child, you killed young animals with your hands. Oh, well, somehow I'm still in heaven anyway, whatever.
Well, this is what we call, like, literally the whole movie is what we call the O. Henry effect, which O. Henry wrote The Gift of the Magi, which is that classic story about how the wife shaves her head to buy her husband a watch, but then the husband sold his watch to buy the wife like a comb or some shit.
Yeah,
but
so then they go products. To Christmas.
Correct. So then they go on Christmas to give each other the gifts, and you know, they come to realize, like, oh my gosh, like, look at this. It's essentially the whole thing is that you end up giving up something for someone else or for yourself, and then you've completely undone the whole thing.
The whole thing is like, we're all really shitty at buying Christmas gifts for each other.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we need to move the story along because we're 90 minutes in and we're still not.
Hell yeah!
So,
we're making this 5 hours, baby. Woo!
So, we go back to Alex coaching a basketball game, and Shannon is watching along. The Wishmaster rolls up on her and says, hello, may I use your cellular phone real quick so that I may make a call? And it's just so she can find out the call that Alex just made so she can find her way to Dr. Wendy. She sees the Wishmaster for just a moment, but then he disappears into thin air. The djinn then heads over to the professor's house to go poke around. He takes the gem pieces in his hand that he's collected earlier in the film and then uses them to collect all the souls that are still alive that he's already bargained with, so that now he has all their souls locked within the gem with him. Then all of a sudden, Alex can see all of this happening while she's at the game, and she gets another call from the Wishmaster.
Hello?
Only you can end their pain, Alexandra. Only you can free them. Also, can I tell you about your car's extended warranty?
Also, you can only prevent forest fires.
he's a robocaller. God, what a piece of shit. No, you are evil. So she goes in over to Wendy's house to talk about what she learned about with the djinn, but little does she know, the djinn has been taken over Wendy's body, and you can hear a little bit of evil Wendy here.
But the djinn itself, the djinn, if it existed, would be all there was. Matchwits were the creature older than time.
match wits with a prince of the Dark Dominions. Pit your tiny 20th century brain against one who walked the spaces between the worlds and trod the wings of angels beneath his conquering feet. Oh, Alexander. You're a delight, really. You are.
I'm glad I can amuse you.
Oh, I hurt your feelings. I'm sorry. Let me make it up to you. What can I do?
I must be going now.
Sit down.
Oh no, but the djinn reveals himself as Jeremy's playing Snoop Dogg music in the background.
What is happening?
It's not distracting at all. He's lost all interest in it. No, it's because it's the djinn and juice he's playing. I get it. He's working on the bits here.
I feel like Eric's going to have a stroke today.
No, I just want to get through the episode at this point, but it's off the rails. We'll just keep going. So
I will pretend as if I am a woman, but I will talk about you and your 20th century mind and your cell phones from the 90s.
So the djinn now in the room with her wants her to make her wishes, and he says, I'll give you one on the house.
Zandra. I'll tell you what. I'll give you one free wish. A sample. Get you into the spirit of the game.
All right. I want you to destroy yourself. Blow your brains out. Right now.
Oh, last house on the left.
That which is eternal cannot die. But if it's any consolation, sweet Alex, that hurt like hell. Now, make your three.
So he implores her to make more wishes, but, you know, she says, I need to know my enemy. And she goes, I want you to tell me who you are. And he goes, not a problem. And she's transported inside of the gem where she sees all the souls of the people that are already there. And he goes on to this long diatribe about how fucking evil he is.
I am the face that stares back at you from the shadowed mirror. At the heart of all your hopes, Alexandra, I am despair. I also short-sell GameStop, so that is another thing that I do.
I am he who tears the tags off the mattress. I am he who does not bring the quarter to Aldi. I am also he who leaves his turn signal on and never lets you pass in the fast lane.
I am he at the liquor store when you just want to buy a 12-pack of Miller Lite who must buy 12 lottery tickets before you can make your single purchase.
I am he who creates hot dogs in 6 packets, but hot dog buns in 4.
God damn it, Jerry, you're an idiot. I love it. So inside the gem, we get to see the Wishmaster's cool flesh puppy that chases her through this weird gem home that's all red and filled with the souls of all of his enemies. And then the Wishmaster then threatens to hurt her sister, so she wishes herself to go back to the apartment without you. But her sister isn't there. She's left a note saying that she's gone over to Freddy Krueger's party, so she heads out and goes to Beaumont's. So she gets into the party pretty easily. Old Tony Todd, the candy man, is the doorman, but the Wishmaster isn't so lucky and meets a little bit resistance from old Tony Todd.
I asked you a question, sir.
Am I expected? Yes. I wouldn't be here if it weren't for Mr. Beaumont.
Well, that sounds good. But it doesn't sound like an invitation.
I don't care what it sounds like. Step aside.
Let me make this real simple for you.
If your name isn't on the list, you don't get in.
Yeah. I've dealt with your type before.
Mister, you never even met my type before.
I am going through that door, and you will not stop me. Is that perfectly clear, doorman?
Door? The name is Valentine. Johnny Valentine. You remember that when they asked how you lost your eye.
Forgive my brashness. My eagerness for the endgame has skewed my judgment.
So he again goes on to explain to him that, don't you feel like you want to escape, that you want to get out of here? And he's like, yeah, I want to escape. And then immediately puts him in like a Houdini trap in a fucking like enclosed water thing. And he's like, Houdini did it in under 2 minutes. And now good old Wishmaster is into the party. And the party doesn't look particularly awesome. It looks okay. So,
it's no Charlie Sheen party.
Yeah, it's just it doesn't have those kind of vibes. It's not great. It doesn't have any trap music playing or 3-6 Mafia. I'm not really into it, but it's
not
okay.
Like a single porn star there.
Yeah, yeah. So Alex goes to talk to Shannon. She's like, oh, did you see that caught guy with all the pockmarks at the game earlier? He's here. Oh, gush, 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 gush. But while that's happening, Beaumont makes a terrible wish by accident to the Wishmaster.
People talked about it for a year.
Really?
I remember a certain potentate whose last party was talked about for centuries.
What do you mean? It went down in history.
Oh, yes.
God, how I'd love to host a party like that.
Shannon!
Oh, no. So he's wished for a party no one would forget, and shit pops off again as chaos ensues within the party. There's a guy with just a fucking skewer through his face at one part. The director, Mr. Robert Kurtzman, actually is the guy who gets ripped apart by the piano. The piano comes to life and binds his face and kills him. There's fucking a guy on fire like it's a Pink Floyd album cover. There's a weird snake thing coming out of somebody's mouth that looks like something that Ashley has in her top drawer. There's ladies. Ashley's face is not happy with me. There's fucking neck tentacles, all types of shit, all as the Wishmaster watches with pure delight. Finally, the Wishmaster meets up with Alex once again.
We have unfinished business.
It's gonna stay unfinished.
Listen to their screams, child. Listen to the music of their agony.
You bastard!
You can save them, Alexandra. Just wish it away.
No, I won't. I can't.
My patience wears thin.
What are you gonna do? Kill me? Where's your third wish then?
I don't need you dead, Alexandra. I just need you to wish you were.
Oh! And he immediately brings to life a statue of Poseidon who throws a fucking trident near her. She runs into Raymond, who's all fucked up and pukes on the floor. This gnarly thing then tries to attack her and she has to fucking hack it off of her. She flees down another hallway and finds these fucking gnarly ass statues that look like enemies from fucking a Ninja Turtles movie. Of course they come to life and hack the shit out of all the security guards that find her.
She's having like a real Greg Kinday from the City of Jeopardy.
Yeah, real Greg Kinday. And one of them, though, there is a really cool kill scene in here where one of the statues takes a mace and just smashes a guy's face completely in so that it looks like you dropped grandma's pie on a fucking December day. Really good stuff there. Next, we see a guy in a Jack the Ripper come to life from another one, and she finally makes her way to the main statue room where Asahura Mazada, the broken statue, was supposed to be. And the Wishmaster finally catches up to her with his fucking statue goons.
No more doors. No more rooms. No more excuses. Make your wish.
I will not wish.
Really? Not even when I show you the latest addition to Beaumont's collection. The final flowering of his wish.
What?
A little masterpiece of my own. I call it Sister. Why have you forsaken me?
Oh, and it's a picture of her sister trapped in a painting. She still won't make a wish because, and he decides to go light it ablaze.
No. Get it!
So, he lights the thing afire, and she finally listens to her own coaching for her all-white basketball team and says... She just starts to fade in there and start thinking of stillness and flashbacks. And finally, she makes her final wish to the Wishmaster.
I wish Mickey Torelli hadn't been drinking on the job 2 days ago.
No! Ricky Torelli is, of course, Joseph Pilato, the guy who dropped the crate in the first place. If that had never happened, the gem would have never been free. The Wishmaster starts screaming out of control as bad CGI is back in the movie once again, making the walls breathe like a Tommy Simbazo tea coursing through your veins. And everything is set back right again as the whole world is back to normal. She has Josh again. She decides, you know what? I should have fucked Josh. She decides, I'm going to fuck Josh in the prologue here. But at the end, we know that that gem and that statue is in Robert Englund's house still, as we hear the Wishmaster laugh for one last time, setting up the 5 movie sequels that will soon come. And that brings us to an end of Wishmaster, the movie that started it all. I'm not super familiar with all the other Wishmasters, and Ashley, how do the other Wishmasters hold up sequel-wise?
I definitely feel like they get campier and a lot more comedic as they go on. I don't think they're nearly as good, obviously, as the first one, but I've still seen all of them because they're a shit ton of fun. I actually love the second one in particular.
All right. Yeah, I think I've seen Wishmaster 2 some time ago, but it's been so long. Maybe I'll have to revisit it and check it out.
I haven't seen Wishmaster The Quickening, but Wishmaster 2 was definitely going towards like Hellraiser 3. And Wishmaster 3 was definitely going on Hellraiser 5.
I was going to say that, but I'm glad you said it before I did. That's where I was going with that.
But I still think there's room for Wishmaster in space.
Oh, Wishmaster in space.
Yeah.
Fuck yes.
I actually like Wishmaster the Marsupials.
The Marsupials?
Yes.
Okay.
As long as Sybil Danning is it and she has topless scenes in it, I go for Wishmaster Marsupials. Yes, so.
But
with, Peter Cushing, yes, I notice your breasts are very big. Hopefully George Lucas puts me in one of his films before I kill myself. So.
So, I personally love The Wishmaster, and if you guys want to watch it, of course, we usually do this at the top, but it's free on Peacock app right now, the NBC app, so you can watch those, and I think all of The Wishmasters are...
Four. There's four.
There's only 4 Wishmasters, there's not a Wishmaster 5.
I don't believe there's Wishmaster 5, and if they did, it was from a different distributor. So yeah, all 4 are on Peacock.
All right, cool. So you can check it out for free if you want to relive the movie yourself. Thanks for joining us once again on another exciting and enthralling episode of Quality Time. Ashley, where can people find you at, love?
You can always find me at Ashley Pontius Labs. You can also catch me on Zoom for a show. It's Sketchy Women, February 18th. And Magoobie's Joke House on March 11th with Eric for Save Our Stages.
Hell yeah, Save Our Stages. I'm excited. Me and Tommy Simbazo are cooking up something special. Get your tickets for that. I believe they're already on sale, so check that shit out. we're like mid-February now, so I don't have a whole lot planned, but obviously go to ericcomedy.com for all things Eric Comedy, as well as links to all of our shows and merch and all that shit. Jeremy, take us out of here.
The insurance is almost up on your car. It is time to renew.
Give me a pair of poopy pants, give me a pair of poopy pants, give me a pair of poopy pants, give me a pair. Give me a pair of poopy pants, give me a pair of poopy pants, give me a pair of poopy pants, poopy pants. Poopy pants, poopy pants, poopy pants, poopy pants, give me pants, poopy pants, poopy pants. Poopy pants, poopy pants, poop, poop, poopy pants, poop, poop, poopy, poopy pants. Give me a pair of poopy pants, give me a pair of poopy pants, give me a pair of poopy pants, poopy pants.